What up, everybody? It's your boy St. Cloud the Pilot, and this is Pilot Talk.
This is the way of the universe. That is the way of the universe. This is the way of the universe. That is the way.
Hey, what up, friends and family? I am very excited for my first episode of Pilot Talk. I have a special guest on. He's a dear friend of mine, all the way from Dallas, Texas. He's a dancer. He is an actor. He is the co-host of Men Talking Shift, and he is the creator and founder of New Age Gents. Please welcome on a dear friend of mine and a true king, Brandon Alexander. Yeah.
Sitting in front of an umbrella. So should I move to the sun? Are you good?
I can see you pretty good. Do you feel like you're well lit?
No, we're good. We're okay, solid. Cool.
Okay, cool. So, dude, what else has been up in your life before we get started, man? It's so good to, like, be able
to talk. It's weird, Sam, because it's, like, it's been years. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, just talking to you, it's like we haven't missed a beat.
Right, for sure.
Like, easily, yeah, it's been years.
Yeah, it's been
2011, maybe?
Yeah, probably, like, what, Marcus's wedding, probably, right?
I wasn't there.
Oh, you weren't there. That's what I thought. So, yeah, even before that. Oh,
before that.
Where were you then?
I left in 2012.
Okay. Gotcha. Wait, you went back home?
I went back to Texas in 2012 and came back in 2016. Just once.
So, okay. So, that is right around. That's why. Because remember, I said in the questions, I remember you leaving.
Yeah.
Because I left L.A. the right around the same you did time you did, but you went home and then me and Mel kind of went to Vegas and then eventually came here.
And then, yeah, I remember you guys going to Vegas for a while and I was just like, man, I honestly didn't know. We'll have to get to it in the question, but I didn't know what life looked like for me. I was like, am I going to do the LA thing?
Right.
Like, am I going to try and come back and grind it out and be fighting just to get a check? Like, where does life go from here, you know?
Right, definitely.
And then I just felt pulled and called. Like, this is home now. Like, I've spent so much time here. I've got family here. I built relationships here. And it was like, this is where I need to be.
You initially made that move back to Texas. Did you already have it made up in your mind that maybe dance or, like, pursuing entertainment wasn't going to be an option anymore? Or what was your mindset?
Honestly, dude, it was when I moved back, it was supposed to be super short and temporary. I mean, like a 2-month span. My mom was like, come home for the holidays. She was coming back from contracting. She had been contracting from 2004 to 2012.
Okay.
So she had been overseas this whole time.
Oh,
she's
wow.
Like, I'm home, home. Yeah. She's like, I'm home, home.
Okay.
We just bought this house in Dallas.
Yeah.
Come to Dallas. We'll spend Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then you go back to LA.
Right.
I'm thinking in my head, I'm about to be teaching a shit ton of master classes. I've got credits out there. I've got studios around here.
Right.
And nothing was landing. Nothing was landing. And I was like, I've got to make money.
Yeah.
I've got to work. Like, what's happening? Right. And so there was a progression of like a progression in a series of events that allowed me to relax. And then a couple people were like, why are you in a rush to get back? Like, LA is not going anywhere.
Right.
People aren't going anywhere. And if they do go, then it is what it is. But like, if your whole thing is to move back to LA, LA is not going anywhere.
Right.
And so that kind of like allowed me to breathe and to ease up a bit and to be like, all right, cool. Okay. Well, let's say I am here for 2 years.
Right.
Let's say I am here for 3 years.
Right.
And I kept praying. I kept praying. I kept praying. I kept praying. I was like, God, there's a reason. There's a reason. I know there's a reason. I know there's a reason that you have me here.
Right.
And in 2015, in August, well, really July, my stepdad passed away.
I'm so.
So, you know, it's. I appreciate that, man. It's one of those things that I honestly didn't see it. Like, no one could see the end. And then, literally, right after he passed away, honest, like it was like God was like, bop, 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 like.
Wow.
I booked a job. I went to Vegas for Magic Mike audition. Like, it was just like everything was like the gates were open. Like, okay, you did what you were supposed to do. And in the meantime, I had really watched how life was for my mom and my stepdad and like what she was going to need once he was gone.
Mm.
So once he passed away and she couldn't really get up out the bed, once she couldn't really do much for herself,
right.
I had already kind of been observing and like, okay, this needs to happen. Yeah. This is how we take care of the swim spa in the back. This is how the yard needs to be cut. This is when the water needs to go. Like, I had all that in my head.
Right.
And was able to kind of step in for a while. But then when my time was up, my time was up. And it was honestly the most perfect transition. Mikael had just booked Bieber. And he was like, my apartment's going to be open. Come live in my apartment when you get back here.
Nice. That's what's
and
up.
And the way the way it lined up was just like, it was supposed to happen.
For sure.
It was perfect.
That's amazing. So like at that time, like how did that impact your art? Like as far as like your dance and everything like that, like were you still dancing on a daily basis? Were you still freestyling? Were you still finding like, you know, time to like get that in? Or were you just focused on like yourself and your family and all that stuff when you were back home in Dallas?
It was funny because resting and not being influenced changed my movement.
Mm.
I'll never forget the first time a studio did have me come to teach and teach a freestyle workshop.
Yeah.
And I remember I danced to Mirrors by Justin Timberlake. And I just was like, yo, who is this dancer? Like, whose movement is this? Because I had become so comfortable in my movement and my vocabulary that I think it was what I needed to discover this other part of me that could create without the influence of like a freestyler in my class, somebody that I knew really well, somebody that I session with often, right? Like when we're around people we session with, like you pick up stuff, whether it's musicality, whether it's a movement. You literally just kind of absorb those things, and to have none of that when I was there, I got to really find me as a dancer and as a mover. And so I felt like I became more authentic in my teaching style, how I freestyled, and how I heard music and created.
Definitely. That's amazing. Like I've always like, I don't know, like there's been like, you know, a few, not like a few people, but there's been like a handful of people like when I moved to LA, the way that they approached movement kind of like struck a chord in me and like kind of like rewired me for a minute. And your class, your freestyle class was one of the first like times that I ever looked at like movement for me in a different way. Like,
oh, wow.
Not only that, it was like in your class, like I talk about this all the time for like me, I was like, you know, people didn't know about this, about me, like about me when I lived in LA, but I was struggling with mental health seriously like back then, right? But like one of those things that like really helped me deal with this shit was being able to go into classes like yours and freestyle, but being able to be present. And I feel like that is something that is so powerful, and you don't hear a lot of teachers or people talking about that. But to me, when I was in your class, for some reason, you were already structuring your class in that way for you to approach movement that way. And I felt like that was so powerful because to me, it was like, okay, I already knew that my movement was kind of like therapeutic, but to see somebody else, also that another black man that like I looked up to, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like approach movement that way. It's super powerful because, you know, of course, dance is athletic. We know that. And dance is entertaining, but there's something so like special about being able to connect with not only yourself, but with your spirituality, with your, you know what I'm saying? With movement. And I feel like, did you ever like know that you were aware or like aware of those things at that time? Or like had that effect on people in your classes at that time when you were teaching freestyle classes?
Sam, you come with the heat, baby. Yeah, you come with the heat.
Already, baby.
Come with the heat. You know, it's interesting about that. I was reflecting about like my time here and what what teaching meant for me and the fact that Debbie Reynolds there's not even a scrap of Debbie Reynolds left.
Right.
It's been super impactful in my life because that was my second home in a sense.
Right.
My impact of what I was able to kind of create and partner with everyone who came in.
Right.
Because it was a partnership for sure. There's a vulnerability and an acceptance on their end to say I'm willing to let you lead me through this process. And then me also being vulnerable and willing to like be with that person because I don't know what's going to come out.
Right.
In this hour,
right?
Right? Like you just don't know. And I think that's where therapists and certain people are, they have to be certified to understand how to coach someone through something that they may not really know how to, because the how is what's important. It's the how.
Facts.
So as much as people were getting something out of it, I would always leave, and it was so cathartic for me to experience what everyone was feeling. I'd often leave so emotionally charged or so emotionally drained, depending on what was shared in the classroom.
Right.
But my hope was always that, because a lot of people don't come back and say what you said.
Yeah.
They'll take it and they'll be like, man, class was dope and class was fun for me. But they'll never come back and give you the review of like, but here's why
right.
it was dope for me.
Right.
And to hear that my goal and my hope of like, man, I hope people are getting what I'm getting out of this, to hear that come from you, someone who I think one of the most talented, unique movers, expressors, and even for your size, I mean, it's like you, Twitch, and Marcus are like the only guys in that bracket that
right
with this, you're built like an athlete, but you move in a way that's so effortless. To find that you could be so vulnerable and transparent in your movement every time, man, you know, to hear that from you, that it was therapeutic for you and going through your time. I stopped teaching that class over almost 8 years ago.
I think that's almost eight years ago. Yeah, I was going to ask
you.
It's crazy. Yeah.
It's like almost 8 years ago, but to hear it, you just never know when you're going to hear the, this for is so sure. funny. I'm sorry for the sidebar.
No, not at all.
Someone sent me a quote and he says, Brandon, this is about New Age Gents and we can kind of, I think it may be a segue.
Perfect.
He says, old men plant the seeds for trees to create shade they'll never sit under.
Wow. Wow.
And I think when you just said that, it was like, I was kind of doing that with New Age, with dance as well, which was like planting seeds for trees that would create a shadow for people to kind of sit in the cool and rest and be, to feel comforted and feel safe in their creativity and their expression. That was my hope for dancers always, is that they would feel freedom and safety in their own unique expression and yeah. what that looked like. Like aesthetically, someone may not be the dopest mover.
Right.
But if they express themselves authentically, right. no one can deny them.
Definitely.
Feel it, even if it's a two-step for an entire song.
Definitely.
If they're being authentic in their expression, you can't help but to feel it. And so, yeah, man, I'm really happy to hear that. My hope and my goal for the class was achieved and felt.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, and I was just thinking about that. Like, there's when you walk into a class and somebody goes, "Hey, I want you to express your entire day, but just through movement." Because I don't know yeah. if you remember that. That was one thing I remember from your class specifically. And I'm pretty sure Twitch was in that class.
Yeah.
And you even like ran through it for us. You were like, look, yeah. if I started my day, this is what it would feel like. But to me, there was something so much deeper hitting there. You know what I'm saying? So it's
yeah.
when a person's going through like mental health, or they're going through stress and they're going through anxiety, but they don't know how to maybe articulate that like with their words, right? So they come yeah. into the class where they're already feeling anxious and they're feeling those things. And there's somebody's like, "Hey, I want you to express yourself, but with movement." Dude, that is like, wait a wow. second. So everything I couldn't say before, now I could say with this. Oh shit.
With this.
You know what I'm saying? And like,
yeah.
So like definitely like touring was awesome. Right. All the things that I got to do in LA was awesome. But those things and those moments helped me find out what I needed to do with my movement now. And like help
wow.
me find my purpose and what, like, yeah, I love being on stage with artists and I love doing that. But like, how could I show the younger generation that there's so much more that you can do with your movement to self-care, show yourself self-care, to show yourself self-care.
Yeah.
You're going through a tough time and you need that freestyle therapy. You know what I'm saying? And again, like you're saying, like, we might not be, as dancers, we're not like licensed technicians, or we're not licensed, you know, psychologists or therapists
sure.
or like that.
Sure.
But it's funny that you said that, because there's one episode that I actually did with one of my friends that I grew up with since fourth grade, and he's a psychologist. And he was saying something that's so amazing about dance is that dancers naturally know this about themselves without having to go to school. They already know how to self-soothe with movement without us having to tell them that that's therapeutic. So even
wow.
though they technically can't say that it's therapeutic, it's still therapy, right?
Right.
So there's something like super powerful there. So and again, I just want to thank you for like doing this and talking to me, because that's something that I've thought about a long time. And Mel just got back in here, but we've talked about your class, you know, so many times. And even when I talk to Marcus and I see you guys together, I'm like, remember this, blah, 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 blah. So, dude, thank you for all that shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad I got to finally sit down and tell you that, like, you know, face-to-face kind of, you know.
It hits on a level because of, like, where I'm at in life right now. Mm-hmm. I have some transitional things happening. I mean, people can resonate with this, but they may not be able to. But like, I have a dog who's older,
Yeah.
I just took him to the vet, and it's hitting me a little bit harder that he has arthritis and he has to take meds now. And it's like, it's a big shift. Yeah. So like having that reality hit me, and then there's someone that I care about that's leaving, and then, you know, they're going to be going overseas. Mm. And so to kind of be in this, like, I told her, listen, I've been off the last couple of days.
Right.
I can't figure out what's going on with me. And then I realized I was sad. I was sad about the things that were happening in my life. And what's tough about being someone who promotes vulnerability and transparency on a platform, and then having moments where you fight feeling,
right?
It's a challenge.
Yeah,
you know, because here you are promoting this, but then you have a hard time acknowledging your real feelings because you've been good, you've been fine, you've been okay for so long that it's gonna hit you. It's in waves, right? Like, you have to feel everything. You have to feel happy. You have to feel sad. You do feel anger. You don't have to stay there, but you do have to feel it.
Yes.
And I think that was what's been important for me to kind of acknowledge in my own life and my growth right now at 31 is like, how often do I, in my own private time, because it's easier when you can coach someone through it,
right,
but to deal with it in the quiet and the stillness of your home alone, that's the growth. That's where I feel the most challenges, because when I have a microphone, when I have a platform, I can easily give you an example and display it. But when I need it for myself, can I give it to myself?
Definitely that inward work instead of
that outward, inward work.
Yeah.
Correct.
Definitely. So where did that new age gents come from? Because like, how long has this been? Because I remember, I was telling you this when we talked on the phone yesterday, I think. Like,
yeah.
I remember like when Instagram was first started to like come around, right? And like, You asked me and Mel like some questions about our relationship, or maybe you asked me some questions about me and Mel relationship, because you're even at that point, me and Mel had
already. I still have that post.
So when was that moment like, and how long has it been since you started? And kind of like tell everybody, you know, like about New Age Gents and how this all like formed and everything.
So I started in 2013.
Okay.
Realistically, it started in 2012, at the end of 2012, but I had went through. In LA, I had kind of let myself go after a big breakup and was just like in the streets, right? I was like in the streets and I was just kind of doing my thing. And I had a situation that was kind of a rock bottom wake up call. Mm. And I want to sum this up so that I can get into the actual launch of it, because it was a wake up call when I went through that. And then when I went home, I made a decision to not continue dating and seeing women and treating women that way. Mm. And so my mom and my grandma and everyone back home was still kind of living in a certain manner, and they were living a certain way that I had lost when I was in LA. Like, I wasn't opening doors. I wasn't saying, you know, please. I wasn't living those things. I had really just become accustomed to like, we're those guys, right? We go to a studio, people dap us up, people say, like, I just was moving in that particular manner, but had lost like the kindness aspect of what needed to be applied anywhere you're living.
Right.
So I go home. I think it's the first night I'm back home, and my mom's is standing outside of her car, outside the car door, and I'm getting in. We're going to the grocery store or something. And she kind of reminded me, like, did you forget? Like, you're going to come get my door. And ever since then, it was like a reboot and a reigniting of like, oh, got it. Like, you were taught to treat people. And I would walk to my neighborhood and everyone's waving and saying hello and like offering to help people, and just a little, the little things was just kind of like reminding me like, oh, this really matters, because everyone is so self-driven out here that everyone has a goal that they want to get to, that it's easy to forget the person next to you or the person in front of you or the person behind you and only care about yourself. And so I started writing about what it meant to be a gentleman.
Yeah.
And I was getting tired of the conversation about there being no more good men. Because it started to get louder and louder, like, there's no more good men, there's no more good men, there's no more good men.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not true. We just don't acknowledge them enough. Like, we have to put the focus on the men who are doing good. And a friend of mine at the time, he had a platform called The Love Project.
Okay.
And on The Love Project, he shared one of my things. I didn't know social media that well at the time.
Right.
He shared it, and he sent it to me in a message. And it had, like, 700 likes and, like, over 200 shares, right?
That's awesome.
And I'm like, what is this? Like, what did you do? And he's like, well, I run this blog. And I didn't know what a blog was. I run this blog, X, Y, and Z. And I was like, yo, if I keep writing, like, would you be down to pause? He's like, yeah, just shoot me some stuff. So this goes on easily for maybe like 3 weeks. This isn't a long period. This goes on for like 3 weeks. And I'm like, how can I become a permanent writer for The Love Project? And he was like, you can't. And I was like, what? He was like, you should start your own.
Wow.
And I was like, I don't know how to. He says, just start. I screenshotted. I still had the message from him. That's the day he sent it to me in December of 2012. He said, just start. And I had started to figure out Instagram a little bit just by posting different things of my dog. Right. And what worked. Hashtags were working to get traction and engagement, other things right. like that. Like, it was really applying what I had been doing with posting about my dog to, like, okay, well, if I want to post about love and relationships, then I need to use these hashtags. And there weren't a lot of pages that were gentleman-driven based wow. on philosophy, not lifestyle.
Right, right.
So it's right. there's lifestyle of, right. like, the suit, how you dress, the X, Y, and Z.
Right.
But philosophy,
exterior,
yeah. Yeah, philosophy, right. standards, and morals was not really promoted that well. Mm. And so I launched a page. It was going to be like Modern Day Gentleman. I was like, that's too long.
Right.
Kind of play with it. I prayed on it. And then I felt like God dropped in my spirit, New Age Gents, and which is short for New Age Gentleman. And it was just kind of right off the tongue. It just kind of rolled right. It just kind of like made sense. And then I was like, okay, I know a lot of good guys in my life. I know, you know, Sammy's with Mel. Like, they've been together, been holding it down for a while. Like, he's a, you're a solid dude. Like, you're not, like, being around you, I never felt influenced to, like, to do anything out of my character.
Dude, I respect that so much. Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I never felt influenced to be
definitely
anyone other than myself Best. When we hung out.
For sure.
Like, no matter what choices you guys might have made, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. it was just like, I never feel like I have to be someone that I'm not. And that's where I think we have a genuine friendship, because
right.
there aren't many people. There are people, but there's not everyone can say they have that experience when they come to LA.
Definitely.
Do you know what I'm saying?
As a man, for sure, right?
As a man. Yeah. As a man, because it's like, well, what about this and what about that? Like, I just never felt, even the advice you would give me about a particular person and be like, you too good for this particular thing you're trying to do. Like,
right.
you
know exactly what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about. This
particular thing you're trying to do.
Yes.
And I was just like, okay, like, they're holding me accountable to integrity and not really be someone other than who I am. And so it was a culmination of all those things in my life. And 2013 is when it started, and it's led to, like, interviews and speaking engagements and podcasts and articles, and like, it just opened up this whole other thing that I never could have fathomed.
That's
really awesome. Couldn't have.
So do you feel like nowadays with the generations now, do you feel like when they say, like, quotes like chivalry is dead, do you feel like with the generations underneath us, there's, like, hope for, as far as, like, I don't know, like, when I look at, and it's hard for me too, because I'm a rapper, right? I love to rap and I love music.
Yeah.
I feel like there's so much influence out there that could be, you know, leading somebody away from, like, you know, being a gentleman. Do you feel like that conversation is, like, bigger than it was before? Or do you feel like it's kind of the same? You know what I'm saying?
The conversation is way bigger.
Definitely.
The conversation is so much bigger because, like, for instance, I started doing this thing called Fatherhood Fridays, which was to shed a positive light on fatherhood. But now pages like Oprah's Magazine and these other big, large platforms, the Shade Room, they do features on fathers and, like, positive images, positive imagery of fatherhood. Or let's say there's a guy, right? There was an article that went viral a little while ago. This kid, he had a job interview. This older white gentleman and his wife were at the train station. He's trying to figure out his tie. The gentleman turns around and says, well, do you need help with that? And the kid's like, I've never tied a tie. No one's ever shown me how to tie a tie. His wife blocks him and the guy so the kid's not embarrassed. And the man teaches the kid how to tie his tie
while she's
blocking them.
That's amazing.
And someone did catch a photo of it.
Right.
But, like, the whole intention behind what they did, like, you get to see, when I see that, it is creating a bigger conversation and awareness. And social media is such a good tool to promote positivity.
Definitely.
That I think people do like to see when, you know, I mean, an example is like Russell Wilson being a good guy and how Sierra got a good man.
For sure.
Women are curious, well, how do you find a man like that? And there's conversations around, well, ladies, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I love that there are conversations around, for one, showcasing that these kind of men do exist,
for sure.
They will show up, that they contribute to society in a positive way, that they are they're present in their families.
Definitely.
I think it's been an amazing thing for me, and I've been so encouraged that I'm a part of a larger conversation that's shifting the narrative around what it is. I mean, there's actors like Justin Baldoni,
Yeah.
Who has this platform, who has a show called Man Enough, and he promotes positive masculinity around mental health for men. There's this other page called For Lives of Men, who these guys in New York who like are like dudes, but like have an amazing conversation around mental health and your self-care and making men aware of like, yo, you can ride a motorcycle and be hard, but go camping and get away for a weekend and making it okay. Saying it's okay has been, I think, the most impactful part for men in today's society, is that men are saying out loud, it's okay to cry. It's okay to love. It's okay to want to be in a monogamous relationship. It's okay to not follow the masculine normative. And so I truly believe the conversation has become broader. Can it be larger than it is now? For sure.
Right. I agree too. So like, say we have some kids listening, right? Because I feel like I'm very confident at our age group. I don't know why. Like, I feel like our age group, if meaning like the 30-year-olds right now, I feel like there's a lot of men that are starting to talk about this stuff, right? But say there's kids, and I know that as a kid that I always haven't been the person I am today. I'm just going to keep it real. Like, I was
1,000%.
You know what I'm saying? Like, as a kid, I was pretty all over the place, and I definitely, I was very influenced by the people around me because I was scared of being who I was, right? Mm. So what would be some advice for that you could give to a younger man that's watching, right? Or a younger female that might feel, I don't know, might feel it's hard to be themselves because of the judgment that they might face around for the people around them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think for any young person listening, one of the biggest things that I learned at 31 that I wish I could have given or had someone say to me when I was 8, when I was 6, or when I was 5, is to love myself. Now, that's a very broad idea and concept to share.
Right.
To say love yourself, because you're like, well, what does that even mean? What that means is you're not looking for an outward acceptance and validation from anyone else that you can give to yourself. Like, you can give it to yourself. You don't need it from an outside source. And that goes with your looks, that goes with your intelligence, that goes with your creativity or your gifts and your talents.
Definitely.
You don't need, or the lack thereof does not validate your value and your worth. And so if you may not understand yet the idea of worth and value, but I want you to know that you're priceless, and that you have so much to offer to the world simply by being who you are.
That is amazing.
Because of you being alive, and then God says, hey, listen, I want to breathe life into this body. You have something great to offer to this world simply by, if you never created the next airplane or never created the next app or never became the next TikTok star,
right?
Just by being who you are, you add so much to the world. And so in that, learn to say to yourself that I am worthy, I am valuable, I am loved, I am complete, I am whole, and practice this. Now, you may not fully accept it right away, but over time, you'll put this into your mind and your body will accept it and you'll start to feel it and you'll live life that way. And the second you get a no, or the second someone rejects you, you won't take it personal.
Right.
You'll understand that that no has nothing to do with you. You'll understand that that girl leaving, or that girl cheating, or that guy leaving, or that person cheating, or that person not thinking you're attractive has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with them and their decision and their choice. So
right.
if you can walk out life and you can accept and love yourself, I think you'll be just fine.
That's amazing.
You'll be absolutely just fine. Dude,
amazing advice. Seriously. Like, it's great. And I feel like it's great for everybody to take that into, but especially as dancers and young dancers, because you deal with so much judgment and so much people like putting you out there to be like, oh, you're too tall, or you're too short, or you're too big, or you're too small. You know what I'm saying?
And you take it, and people take that personally, and they think that means I am not good enough. My dogs are probably going to run the next 2 seconds because there's a squirrel, and they're both eyeing it like it's going
down. I was just
going
to say, you have two dogs, right?
Yeah, I have two dogs.
What's the breed? What's the breed?
They're both shepherd. They actually didn't do anything. They're being good for the interview. Good job. Good job. One's a German Shepherd Lab. The other one's German Shepherd Mastiff.
That is amazing. How long have you had them?
I've had Austin going on 8 years in July, and then I've had Bear. I rescued Bear almost 3 years ago now, and he'll be 12 in October.
Truly, like, hey, like, just man's best friend, woman's best friend. Like, we have a dog, dude. And I mean, my mom is a dog groomer, so she has 5 dogs at home. So I'm always used to be around dogs. So
man,
every time I see posts of your dogs, like, I just love that, dude. Especially, you know, you got 2 big dogs in LA. Like, that's awesome. That's incredible.
It was definitely a dream come true. That's a whole different conversation and a whole different story.
Right.
But I do want to circle back around to something you were talking about. And I've been having this conversation lately, which is, though I would love to give this advice to younger people, I often see now that adults are learning what it means to love their inner child.
Oof. Wow.
Right? Because at a certain point, I don't want to say they become grownups.
Right.
But they forget that there's something. They don't understand that hurt or why they feel that way about, like, well, that didn't turn out the way that I wanted to, is honestly directly connected to that inner child that had an experience, and that wounding has just found a way to surface through. So in order to heal, in order to heal the hurt you feel now, you've got to look back down and you got to figure out, well, when did that happen to me? Oh, at 5, my dad left and I never figured out how to handle that. And did I think it was a reflection of me? Did I think that I caused him to leave? Is it my fault?
Right.
Same thing when it comes to creativity. I didn't get picked for the school play. I didn't get the lead role. So now anytime I go out for an audition, I'm subconsciously insecure about I'm never going to be good enough to be the lead. But you put yourself out there and you say, well, I'm going to go through this audition. But somewhere in your mind, there's a seed of doubt.
Right.
So I think the most important work in self-love as an adult is to learn how to love the child within and comfort the child within and say, it's okay. I've got you. I'm here for you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm going to, like, and heal that so that the adult can be free.
That is amazing, dude. Wow. Dude, you sound like you've, like, been doing, like, counseling or something. Are you sure you don't have a PhD or something? Like,
I had no PhD. I think it's been like, I'm someone who I spend a lot of time reflecting. Like, I'm very self-reflective. So I'll sit and I'll, if something's triggering me or something's, like, really getting to me in my life, I want to figure out, talk like me and God, I'll sit it and, okay, well, where is it at? Where's the line here?
For sure.
And often, you know, it leads back. Any relationship I have and there's an issue, it always leads back to me.
Jeff, I agree. Yeah.
It always leads back to me. There's an issue that I have, it always leads back to me.
Yeah.
They can do whatever they want to do. But if I have issue with what's happening, I need to examine why that is and then address, okay, I don't feel respected. Okay, I feel rejected. Okay, and then why? And then it's up to me to hold myself accountable and take ownership of, I played some part in getting here.
Definitely. I agree. So when you say, like, talk about relationships, what do you think builds the foundation of, like, a healthy relationship?
What I've been practicing has been leaving room for them to show you the real who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not going in with an expectation of who you think they are, who they're supposed to be.
Right.
So once you remove that and you allow someone to show up as who they are, and that may take time, and it does take time. Creating that space also means allowing yourself the space to take time to show them the real you.
Definitely.
You don't have to come out the gate. You don't have to come out the gate and here's all of me.
Right.
You have to know and know that it's a safe space for you to expose yourself fully.
Right.
Right. Mm. So in building a healthy relationship, I think it takes time to get through those phases of trusting and knowing and connecting and communicating and vibing and seeing, is this a healthy ground for us to build on? This is just the basis of just getting started, right? And so something with, like, Marcus, right? We both know this. Marcus is not the most, like, open guy. He's not the most, like, I want to be friends with everybody right away.
Right, right, for sure.
We've known him now for years.
Yeah.
But we knew that it took time to build that relationship. But we can both agree it's one of the most healthy relationships we have.
Oh, my gosh, 100%.
Right?
Yeah.
So just using him as an example, and we've done the same thing. It was like, okay, we, like, freestyle together. Like, it wasn't initially like, okay, come to my apartment. Like, it took a while before you and Mel had me over.
Yeah,
like, we're not going to just invite you into our space. but maybe we'll catch you out. Maybe we'll see you out. And for then we're like, you know what? We like this person enough to then say, I'll open up this door. We'll let this, and then we'll see where we go from here.
Right.
And so for me, I think that's such an important builder and a foundation of a healthy relationship is let someone show you who they are.
Yeah.
Other parts of them are going to be revealed over time, but let them show you who they are without judgment.
Mm.
Without judgment.
Without judgment. It's so true.
Without judgment. Safety is created when people don't feel like they have to be someone they're not.
Right. So that is, dude, you hit it. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And some of the most amazing people I've ever met have been misunderstood and have been misjudged simply based on a moment or an action that didn't really reveal their true character.
Yes, definitely. I'm sure we've all probably experienced that at some point.
We've all experienced it in some capacity. Oh, dude, I can't tell you enough. Yo, he's an asshole. He's cold. He's arrogant. He's this. He's that. And then if someone were to like talk to someone that really knew me, they'd be like, that's not even close to who he is. But someone's perception or misjudging of me could easily define my character in their mind.
Yeah.
But and there's a quote that like, who you've created me to be in your head is not my responsibility.
Right.
It's not my responsibility.
Oh, true.
So where I'm at in my life, I've gone through phases of being very like absolute and very like black and white of like, either you fit who I want in my life or you don't fit who I want in my life. And in that, there's been lots of like cut off. Yeah. So where I've challenged myself is to do the opposite and to be a little more welcoming to people who didn't necessarily fit into what I would consider that I would normally hang out with and normally have conversations with.
Yeah.
To allow them to show me who they are and then realize, oh, wow, there's so much value and there's so much in this relationship that I can pull from and actually like realize we connect on something. Right. It could be mental health. It could be sports. It could be relationships. It could be God. It could be cars. It could be so many different things.
Yeah.
But it takes you allowing that person to show up to realize you got something special here. And it's the same thing goes with someone you're not going to connect with.
Right. Definitely. I hear you, man. I was going to ask you, so we're men talking shift, right?
Yep.
What is that? Like, tell me a little bit about that. Cause I said you're the co-host, is right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, when did that come about? And like, what's your kind of explain to everybody what that show is in case they want to, you know, check that out. And at Men Talking Shift, right?
Come on with the plug. So
you already know, bro.
Man, my friend Corey Emanuel is actually the creator of it. And a friend of mine, Justin Wright, he's a co-host. And so Corey had a show called Lend Me Your Lens, and he interviewed a bunch of entrepreneurs and people he saw kind of being movers and shakers in LA. He's a producer.
Okay.
And so he produced this series, and then he was like, I want to talk to you about masculinity, and I want to talk to you and get your input on modern day masculinity being a gentleman.
Yeah.
So our interview did really, really well. Like the way we connected and the way so as soon as I got done, he was like, yo, I'm going to be calling you about something else. And I was like, okay. He calls me. He was like, I got another guy that was on the show. His name's Justin Riley. He and his wife have a podcast called The Love Jays. I really want to do this show called Men Talking Shift, where we touch on pretty much a male version of Red Table Talk.
Right.
To be another visual and an example for people that men can have meaningful and impactful conversations.
Definitely.
And also address issues that maybe people aren't that aware of.
Right.
Because not everyone seeks content around men and masculinity and mental health.
Definitely.
So to create a show that would get some traction and some engagement, I think it would be really great for people to have that and to see that. So Corey launched that, and we've been doing it now for a little over a year.
It's amazing.
And so it's been great, man, to be working with these guys. So the goal is to actually have like a legit TV show.
Yeah.
A legit talk show. But right now we're just using social media and the platform to promote and push the message that we want to put into the world.
That's amazing, dude. I mean, it's so cool to see, like, you know, we all know that you can dance really well, you know what I'm saying? And now you're acting as well too, which is awesome, dude. I see you doing your acting thing. But to be able to do like work, you know what I'm saying? That I feel like, again, it's like part of like your purpose and like who you are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like one more thing before we go, if people are watching, right? adult, teenager, kid, and they're having trouble finding their purpose? What would be some advice for you to,
like, man, you know what's interesting about purpose? I think people make it singular.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
How can I find my purpose?
Right.
And it's singular.
Right.
And what I've been exploring with is the idea that I can still dance, I can act, and I can do the new age gents.
Right.
And what I found my source to be in all of that was that in some way, shape, or form, those are the vehicles.
Right.
But I want to inspire people to live in a way, like to be the best version of themselves.
Yeah.
So I may reach someone through my movement to be the best version of themselves.
Definitely.
I may reach someone through a scene that I do in a film to be the best version of themselves. For sure. I may say something in a post to a man that inspires him to be the best version of himself. Now, each one plays a different part in my life and how it fuels me. So with New Age Gents and that mission that I have, I literally labeled it a mission. My mission is to do this with men. Mm. Acting fulfills and really, honestly, in a way that dancing never did, allows me to have a release creatively.
I love that.
And it's also therapy.
I love that.
But dance was the cornerstone.
For sure.
Was the building block for me.
Definitely.
To be able to do these other things.
Facts.
I found me through this.
Right.
It'll always be with me. But I think it serves its purpose into launching you into another phase in your life.
For sure.
So if you're listening and you're trying to find your purpose, be very mindful to not limit yourself and what you're able to do in this lifetime.
I love that.
Making it singular. And it doesn't mean anything is wrong if you do have a singular thing that you do.
Right, right.
But the purpose you serve is much broader.
Definitely.
Than the thing that you do.
Definitely.
So I would say sit with yourself. And that's always the beginning, I think, is you got to sit with you and you got to be honest with, it's not fame that you want. It's not money that you want. It's like, before I leave this earth, how can I create shade for other people?
Mm.
Our purpose to me is never about us.
Definitely.
It's always about the collective and the greater good of humanity.
I love that. You're so right. You're so right.
You make music because someone's ears are going to hear your words and inspire them to use their words, whether it's poetry, whether it's writing, whether it's rapping, whether it's singing. And now you've influenced someone to now step out and do something that they wouldn't have normally done.
Right.
And now that person's words may inspire someone to paint. And that person decides they want to start painting. And while that person does a painting, this mom sees it and buys it for her daughter. And now this daughter cherishes this gift of this painting that stems all the way back to you deciding I want to write a song and I rap one day.
Right. I love that.
But the purpose was how do I give love to the world?
Right.
How do I give kindness to the world? How do I give back to the world? So to me, you know, purpose is bigger than the thing that you do. But the thing that you do is a vehicle to convey that message.
Definitely.
So that's what I would say.
Dude, you're super inspirational, man. You're so well spoken, brother. Like, we need more people like you in this world. Creators, movers, just, you know, motivational speakers. Is there anything else? Like, what's your next step? Like, what's next for you, man? Like, what do you want? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, for you next, just, you know, from friend to friend, like, what does Brandon want next?
I want next in my life? It's interesting because, like, right now, everything's up in the air.
Right.
Facts. Now, everyone who had a plan has been hit with the same curveball.
Right.
If I'm honest with what I want next, I want my work and the love that I've given myself to be reflected in a meaningful relationship.
Mm. Definitely.
That's like the thing for me. You know, career and everything, it's there. And I have goals per se.
Right.
But what I want in my life is someone who can, I can partner with in the work that I've done and maybe challenge some of my things that I've worked on or push me to grow, because we can only grow so much alone.
Definitely.
That, and I believe it's actually happening.
Right.
But I think that's where my heart, and I don't have a timeline for that either. We don't have a time. I don't have a timeline for that. My view of kids has changed.
Right. What was your had view a conversation?
You know, what's funny is like, I wanted to be a dad for the sake of saying I was a father.
Okay.
Mm. So that's not fair to the kid, because it's like getting a dog just to say you have a dog.
Exactly. Exactly.
If you say you want a dog and then you're not ready to like take it to the vet, walk it three times a day, love on it the way it needs to be loved on, pay for the, like, if you're not ready for that, it's going to be miserable for the both of you.
Right.
And I think though you cannot truly, you can do your best to prepare for kids, I think it's also smart to acknowledge, like, is this something that I really desire, or is it just like an aesthetic?
Mm.
To say that I have to take photos with, but the second you take that photo, you're annoyed, you're irritated, you're like, oh, I can't stand it. You don't want to,
right? Is it like society? Correct. Like everybody's telling us that you have to be a father, you have to have
correct,
you have to do this,
correct,
you have to have this type of car, you know. So it kind of like puts you into your mind to where like, if I don't have these things, am I like on the right path? If I, you know, I felt like that forever. Me and Mel have talked like that, because
yeah,
I thought at 32 that I would probably like. If you would have asked me at 18, Brandon, if I had kids by now, oh, I would have had two by now. I would have had three.
You would have had a family. Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, and honestly, it even hit me more when you said that, because now I think about it, like, what was that for? You know what I'm saying? Was it?
Yes.
Was it because I was, this is what I am told to believe, that this is to what a successful man looks like, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like that's huge, bro. Like, wow. So do you, is this kid still in the future?
You know, to go back to what we were just saying, I wanted to be a dad to correct what happened between me and my dad.
Same here.
I like, okay, my dad wasn't there for me, so I'm going to have a kid so I can love on that kid. Da, 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 da. Maybe the intention is good, but that's – that kid's going to grow up with so much expectation already on them.
Right.
To be like, well, if they're not grateful, what if they feel smothered? What about if the relationship doesn't work out the way I see it in my head?
Exactly.
That's not fair to the kid. And it's not, and this goes back to relationships. You don't get married to say, I have a wife.
Mm.
Because now she has to, there's no room and there's no freedom for her to be who she is in that experience of being a wife.
Right, exactly.
So now you're expecting sex. Now you're expecting dinner. Now you're expecting her to laugh at your jokes. Now you're expecting her to support you in your career and your path and what you're doing. And if she does none of those things, now she's a failure, but it was never her fault. You created this image of who you wanted.
Right. Yes.
And unfortunately, what happens is when people get that, they get bored.
Yeah.
When you fit exactly what I want you to be, they go look for the thing that excites them.
Exactly.
So for me, I think I've become so settled in myself and my life that I know that it's when it's time for God to say it's time for you to bring a life into this world, it'll be right when I need it. It'll be right when that child and all those children have chosen me to be their dad.
Definitely. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And until then, I'll enjoy it.
I think a lot of people, they don't do the work on themselves before they get into a relationship. So they bring all this shit to the relationship. And that,
or just have sex, raw dogging. They're just out here, no condom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So I feel like it's incredibly, it's inspiring as a man too, because I was going to ask you this earlier. I forgot to ask you as far as like, I feel like there's a lot of men that go into relationships and basing it off of like sexual attraction or sexual fantasy and
not
like sexual real, right?
You see what I'm saying? Man.
So I feel like it's like that, it's like, I don't know, I feel like when you do the work on yourself and you really do that work on yourself, which
come on.
if you could add, again, I'm so grateful that me and Mel have been together for 13 years, and especially—
Come on, somebody.
You know what I'm saying? When we, especially starting so young, right?
Yeah.
If I would have known, and I'm sure she could say the same, but we know now about just doing the work on ourselves, we would have been able to offer each other something, you know, probably a little bit more healthy than what started off at the beginning, right?
Sure.
I think it's extremely, like, inspirational to hear another person say, well, you know what, like, I've been doing all this work on me, and when time is ready, then it's going to be right. And I feel like that is so true, dude. It could not be, could not be more true.
Yeah, man. That we have to say that question, because that's a whole other conversation about, like, how does your work translate into who you're attracted to?
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, you know, obviously, I don't know what's going down in LA. Atlanta's a little lax about this quarantine stuff, obviously. Like, they done opened up the city and everything. So,
yeah.
With that being said, if you do have more time in the next few weeks, you know what I'm saying, we can do this again. I would love to, like, you know, have a conversation with you, bro. Like, awesome. I'm so excited to do this, man. Is there anything else that you want to, like, promote or say? Definitely let everybody know what your Instagram handles are and all that stuff, and I'll put them at the bottom of the screen, like, you know, after I edit the video and everything.
Oh, man. Well, one, Sammy, I love you. Mel, you're watching. Like, I love you, too. Mel. She's out.
I heard him, baby. I heard him. What's up?
Hey, beautiful.
How are you?
I'm amazing. This is so good. Like, my heart is so full. I miss you guys so much.
We miss you so much, bro.
Yeah, this is amazing.
It's so good to see you happy and healthy, and all your successes are such an inspiration. And,
oh, man.
And I'm just happy to know you and to appreciate you.
Definitely. Thank you. Thank you. This guy is amazing. What he's doing right now, that the courage it takes to launch something like this and have conversations that matter. I mean, come on.
I appreciate that.
It's a beautiful thing, man. It's such a beautiful thing. Yeah, I don't really have anything I want to promote. Like, I just want to say thank you, guys, and this has been a really good moment to just love on each other. Like, truly.
Hell yeah.
We appreciate it so much, man. Again, like, you know, we're going to do this again, and hopefully one day we'll get to LA and we'll all be able to chill again, but you know you always got
Atlanta's open.
Dude, you need to come work in Atlanta, dude. Like, you know what's going to happen soon. I know you're going to be down here, you know?
Yeah.
People die for a pair of Jordans in Atlanta.
Yeah, so Atlanta's open. So we're going to try to stay in our damn house for, like, the next 2 weeks while everybody else goes through that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we did the Boosie thing yesterday. We were trying to stay, you know. Even that, we were like, dude, there's so – oh, my
God. Yeah.
You know how it is, you know. Entertainers are going to find a way to work no matter what's going on.
Always. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But people can find me on Facebook at New Age Gents. They can find me on Instagram at New Age Gents. There's a website, newagegents.com. And then, of course, Men Talking Shift. You can find us at Men Talking Shift. So
thank you, brother, so
amazing.
Much. Man. We'll talk soon, man. And
absolutely.
Have a good day, brother.
Bye.
Love you guys.
Love you, man.
Yep.
Love you,
peace. Man.
Peace.
We are lucid.
I'm legit, run up in this bitch like I